And thank you for praying for us. We had a two-week vacation in Macau. It took us about 50 hours to get there. And the flight broke down in Edmonton, so we missed the connection from Vancouver to Hong Kong, so we stuck in Vancouver for a night. So eventually, we went to Macau, taking us 50 hours. Everything was late, seriously. Late, 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 late. But coming back, everything was on time. So you can interpret what that means. And let's turn to the book of Galatians. Today, I'm going to talk about the vision statement. Thank you for... Oh, too fast. Pastor Henry, turning people into fully devoted followers of Jesus. And I'm going to unpack a little bit today, especially the word turning. Why are we asking people to turn? The meaning of turning actually is from the biblical concept, repentance, turning from one direction to the other direction. And we have to ask ourselves, why are we asking people to turn instead of just say loving people into fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? Because we talk about love a lot and talk about God's love all the time, and it's nothing wrong, but I think we are missing half of the story in the gospel. And today we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And this is the picture, the journey of faith. If you look at it, you will see that. And a lot of time, the turning point, of course, is the cross. And we have seekers, we have in religious people, minus 10, way over there. And then we have Christians, and then disciples. And the church is doing well in the sense that we are reaching people here because people actually respond to our invitation, to our activities, fellowship, open house, whatever we are trying to do in the church setting, and people respond. But the question is, how do we reach people over here, minus 10, meaning that those are unchurched people. They have no interest whatsoever coming to church premises. They won't even walk, step in, because they have no idea what a church is look like, and they have no idea what you do in the church every Sunday, and they are really far away. In the last 20, 30 years, more and more Canadians are shifting from here, knowing a little bit about Jesus or about the Bible, to here. Nowadays, a lot of Canadians have no idea what the Bible talks about and no idea what the church is doing. And how do we reach these people? My question is, how do you reach people far away from our church building? We are doing well here, meaning that we do a lot of things in our territory, our church building, and we are doing okay. But the question I want to ask is, how do you reach people here and help them to turn from what to what? And today we're going to talk about this as we unpack this passage together. And I want to ask you a question first. When you share the gospel, when you heard the gospel for the first time or the second time, so what was your impression? You hear a lot about love, grace, blessings, and just like looking at the contract, we don't tell people those little words, you know, on the footnotes. We tell people the big things, you know, God loves you, He's going to bless you, why don't you just accept Christ, and your life will be, you know, protected, and He's going to be with you. We heard gospel like that. But I'm not sure this is the true gospel or the full gospel, because we always miss a very important part of the gospel. The message of the gospel is what? The true or the first part of the message of the gospel has something to do with we have been rescued from the bondage of sin. And it is not just that. We are rescued from the wrath of God, if I'm telling you that. Because a lot of people think that, oh, we are rescued from Satan, from sin. But actually, Satan and sin has nothing to do with our eternal destination. It was God who decided where we would go eternally. So actually, we are rescued from the wrath of God, from the anger of God. And sin, Satan, just put us into the condition where we were offending God. We could not get out, and we were heading to that direction of eternal death. And we seldom tell people about that. We just talk about, you know, how good it is, you know, if you become a Christian, you will be blessed, you will be loved, and you go to church, people love you, take care of you, and you will be, you know, doing fine. But we do not tell people why God loves you, or how much you could understand if you find out that you were rescued. Just like, I tell you the difference. You go to watch a movie, and then you come back and say, oh, I love that movie. What does it mean you love that movie? How much love do you have for that movie? Very shallow. But when you say, I love my mom, you know, I love my kid, that love is different than you say, I love a movie. So when you say, oh, God loves me, I love him, that intensity, that understanding would not be there if you do not understand why God loves you. And why do you respond to his love and loving him back until you understand the importance of being rescued from eternal death to eternal life. And you have no idea if you do not hear the gospel and saying that Jesus died on the cross every Christmas. We try to remind you and remind myself the pain that he had gone through to show you how much God loves you. I think if you understand, if I understand more every time I talk about the gospel, I remind myself, do I really understand the depth of his love? If I just talk about the blessings, the grace, you know, all these wonderful things, but I've missed that part of the importance of why I need to turn, because if I do not turn, I'm heading to eternal death. I turn around so that I can go to what? Being with God in eternity. And I think it's very important. A lot of time we miss that one. So how do we respond to the gospel? So the people in minus 10, how do they do this? You know, how do they react? You know, usually three ways of responding to God, according to Tim Kelly. I was reading his book. He was talking about in religion, it's avoiding God as Lord and Savior by ignoring him altogether. Just those minus 10 people. They have no interest whatsoever about church, about God, about the Bible, and they don't believe in God at all. And then we have religion people. It's avoiding God as Lord and Savior by developing a moral righteousness and then presenting it to God in an effort to show that God owns us something when we are doing something so-called for him. So he owns me because I'm doing something for him. That is religion. The world religions always tells us that we need to do something in order to earn God's favor. And of course, the gospel is God's developing and giving us righteousness through Jesus Christ. You can look at 1 Corinthians, if you have the Bible. You can turn to your phone, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Jesus gives us his righteousness, not ours, but his. And I think it's very important for us to see this is usually, that's how we respond to the gospel. Three ways of responding to God usually is ignoring him, or we get into religion. And then the best, of course, being a Christian, is that we accept the gospel. We accept the gospel. So he concluded that, Tim Kelly, and said, religion, well, if you hardly write down anything, today I'm just asking you to write down something. This is one of the things you need to write down because it's very important for you to get this concept. Because we always struggle with this between the gospel and religion. Religion, I obey, therefore I am accepted. I obey, you translate into all kinds of things. You know, you do things to earn God's favor. You know, you go to church, you do this, I obey, you know, I have to worship God. Just like a lot of religions, you know, you have to do certain things in order to be accepted. I obey, therefore I am accepted. Gospel, I am accepted by God through Christ, therefore I obey. If you do not write it down, it's okay. But I want you to remember that. It's very important because I'm going to tell you the story in the book of Galatians. This is a constant struggle within our hearts, running between these two. And I think it's very important for us to see that. I am accepted by God through Christ. Nothing you could do about it. You don't need to do anything. I am accepted by God through Christ, therefore I obey. I submit. I serve. It's not the same as you serve in order to be accepted. So this is a huge difference. So if you continue to look at this, this is very similar. Actually, this you see a pattern. This situation, there's a pattern in the scriptures too. In the Old Testament, you see three kinds of people. The scripture always talk, God always talk about that. Uncircumcised, pagans, and non-believers. Gentiles, in the Greek context, in the New Testament context, we call them Gentiles. And in the Old Testament, they call pagans, you know, circumcised only in the flesh, submitted to God's law, but resting and relying on it. That was what? The Jewish people, for the longest time, they were trying to do this. But God, again and again, telling them, no, 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 this is not what he wants. He wants this, circumcised in heart, submitted to God's law, in response to the saving grace of God. You see, Exodus, you saw that. He saved people first. He didn't ask the Israelites doing anything. Just say, come, I will save you. Leaving Egypt at the Mount Sinai, he gave them the law. So save them first and then give them the law so that he knows by when they following the law, obeying the law, he knows that they actually obey him, love him, understand, and be gracious, because he was gracious to them. That was the ultimate. You see this in the New Testament too. The book of Romans. You know the book of Romans really well. What is chapter 1 about? Testing time. Chapter 1 to chapter 4. If you look at your scriptures, the book of Romans also describes this pattern. The first one is sinners. Everyone was condemned. They did not love God. They did not treat God as he was God, all these things, you know, in the book of Romans. And then chapter 2, he was talking about the Jewish people trying to follow in the law, trying to please him by following the law, obeying the law. And then chapter 3 and 4, he talk about justification by what? Faith. Trusting Jesus, dying on the cross. So you see there's a pattern. This is the situation that always described in the scriptures. People far away from God. And some people are religious people. A lot of them. Look around today. A lot of people will love to engage religious or spiritual topics with you. They are religious people. But how many of them, or even you and me, are actually listening, accepting the full gospel, understanding that? Even sitting here today among you, are you a religious people? Or are you a truly understand the gospel and you have accepted what the gospel presented to you? And I think it's very important for us to see this is the situation we are in. So in the book of Romans, also presented this way, sinners, religious people, and they both need to be saved. That's why we have chapter 3 and chapter 4. And that was always our struggles. So if you look at this, Martin Luther's, he gave us a very important concept. I think this is, to me, is very much eye-opening concept. He said that fundamental insight is that religion is a default mode of the human heart. That means we always tend to stay in that sphere, that concept, that we need to do something in order to maintain that I'm saved. From time to time, you wonder, you question your belief, because this is our fundamental problem that we have. Our hearts always wanted to go back to religion. Trusting our efforts to earn God's salvation. Ask yourself. A lot of time I think we struggle with that. And this is not new. Because if you look at all these things, you're, oh, this is new, right? No, no, no. Is it new? No, it's not new, because this is not talking about 2,000 years from the scriptures. It happened in the book of Galatians. Let's turn to the book of Galatians now, chapter 2. There's a few verses you are very familiar with. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. We quote this a lot. We read this a lot. But we need to have the context to understand why Paul was talking about that. The book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Paul was talking about that, and then if you continue to go back into that story, let's turn to verses 11 to 15. Actually, there was something happened in Antioch that caused Paul talks about all this in the passage. Verse 11, let's look at this today. As I said, this is not new about the struggling between gospel and religion. We often, in our deep hearts, deep inside in our hearts, we often struggle with this. Questioning, do I do enough to secure my salvation? What if I close my eyes today, I go to where? Heaven? Or not? So this is not new. This happened 10 years, 15 years after Jesus went back to heaven. The book, Galatians. Verse 11. If you have a Bible, let's turn to chapter 2, verse 11. You see, this story, verses 11 to basically 14, 15. Let me tell you the story. And then Peter came to Antioch, and he visited the church. A lot of Bible scholars believe that happened after Jerusalem Council, the decision they made regarding Gentiles. Do they need to go through circumcisions in order to be saved? So they make a decision, and then this is after that council's meeting, the decision they made. So Peter, maybe he just want to go to Antioch to check it out and see what's happening. What's happening in this church? So he came to visit, and if you look at the scripture, he found freedom. You have to know the background. Jewish people were not allowed to eat with Gentiles. They treat Gentiles in those days, in their prayer, they treat them like dogs. You heard that before. So it's impossible for them to eat with them. But if you look at the scriptures, Peter came, he removed all these burdens. Being a Jew, he became like a Gentile. He found freedom in Christ. And then he's starting to eat with them, and even maybe eating those so-called unclean food. But he had experience in the book of Acts 10, the vision that he saw. The cloth came down with all those unclean animals, and God told them, eat them. No. Three times. I'm not sure how many times God have to convince us to change the way we think, what are the values that we hold on to. But for Peter, it was three times. And so he was still eating with them, maybe eating some pork, with them? Who knows? And he was enjoying that freedom. And then all of a sudden, based on Paul's description, some man came from James telling us that they were from the Jerusalem church, you know, from James, brother of Jesus. He became a leader of the church, so he just wanted to tell us this group of people, they have a strong man back them up. You know, they came to this church after Peter came first, and then they check out things. And then this group of people, very interesting, because they not only believe in Jesus, they believe in the law too, meaning that you cannot just accept Jesus. He's good, but he's not enough. Do we do that from time to time? Jesus is good, but I guess might not be enough. Maybe I need to do something to secure my salvation. So they said, well, it's good to have Jesus, but why don't you just practice Mosaic law too? So what happened? The scriptures tells us that, well, the verbs, two verbs, they were in imperfect tense, meaning that Peter was gradually moving away from the Gentiles. You know, he just slowly, hi, guys, maybe later. And David called me, Pastor, come to our home for dinner tonight. Oh, I'm not sure. I'm kind of busy. Sunday night is no good because I'm tired. You know, maybe next time, okay? And then Ken called me and said, Pastor, come over for dinner. How about tomorrow night? Oh, no. You know, I have to prepare next month's sermon. So, what? Okay, so you're not coming? Yeah, maybe later. Lunch will be better because everyone goes to work. Maybe we can have lunch so nobody sees us. So Peter gradually walked away from eating with the Gentiles. He was doing that. And then slowly, people, the Jewish Christians, look at him. He was walking away. Maybe we should walk away with him too. So as Barnabas. That is scary. Even Barnabas walked away. And that was tremendous impact. That brought tremendous negative impact to the church. You see, the Gentiles, Christians, look at them and say, hey, Peter, Barnabas, our spiritual leaders are eating with the Jews only. But I want to eat with them. You know, I really want to follow them. Maybe, should I become a Jew too? How can I be a Jew? Maybe I should check the menu. Wow, circumcised. A little bit painful, but I might have to do it. Otherwise, I cannot join the group. So Paul came back. Maybe he was away for a while, and then he came back. He was asking David, and he was asking Ken, what happened? Oh, Pastor Stan doesn't want to come anymore. I don't know why, but he gave us all kinds of excuses. Now he's eating with Jewish people only. He's just eating with pastors only. Really? So, you know, one dinner time, Paul actually openly confronted Peter. Look at that. He condemned him first before he described what happened. Verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned before certain men came. And then he tells the story. You see, to Paul, that is a huge deal. Peter was walking away from the true gospel. And Paul could not accept that. He walked away because of fear. Thank you for the song that you led today. We are no longer slave of fear. But you see, Peter was fearful, and then he walked away from the gospel. You see, a lot of time, We run between these two, or even this. A lot of time, it was our fear. We are afraid to stand up for God. We are afraid if we say something for God and for the truth, we will offend people. We are afraid that if I speak up, people will not like me anymore. So maybe I just shut my mouth. Maybe I just go with them and do all this and believe what they believe. We do that all the time. Our fear. And Peter was fearful and he walked away. And he did that before. But you would be amazed, you know, how he changed so much at Pentecost. You know, he brought people to Christ. All these wonderful things happened. But in this story, that is scary. So, coming to close, religion. I obey, therefore I am accepted. I am accepted by God through Christ, therefore I obey. So what could we learn from this story? You see, starting 14. Can you read verse 14, 15? I think it's very important, powerful verses. Verse 14. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all. You see, he was confronting him in front of everybody. Peter, in those days, was a very powerful, well-known church leader. You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. He was free. He was living like a Gentile, meaning that he was free from abiding all these laws, all these things. He was live like a Gentile, accepting the gospel and nothing else, those things. How it is then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? By walking away, he was forcing them to follow him. You see how important it is for leaders to act properly, to understand the gospel truly, and live out the gospel, because a lot of people look up to us and following us. And then verse 15, 16, you all know justification, not by works, but by faith. Then you understand why he was talking about that, because of what Peter and a bunch of Jewish Christians did. They were adding something to the gospel. So at the end, three lessons I think we can learn from this incident. Past experience. You were faithful. I was faithful. We've been serving God for years. We've been following God for years, just like Peter, Barnabas. They had a tremendous experience in God. You know, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were speaking in tongues, bringing people to Christ, all doing all these things. And he was free in the gospel. He was free like a Christian, like us, disciples. And then the past experience cannot promise future faithfulness. Once again, he failed. He was He slowly walked away from the truth. You see, this is what we do all the time. We don't suddenly change our course. A lot of time we slowly move away. That is the problem. Past experience cannot promise future faithfulness. Ungodly living brings impact to others. What you say, what you do, if it's not consistent with the gospel, we have problems. Because you actually is telling people the values of the gospel, the meaning of the gospel, by what you do, what you say. So we have to understand what the gospel content that you really believe in. The last one, fear, is a powerful weapon of Satan. Can you turn your scriptures to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18? I think this is another powerful verse that should remind each one of us. It reminds me a lot when I'm fearful, when I have to make decisions, when I have to go in front of people, fear is natural reaction. But every time I have to look at this, and I have to remember 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Do you find it? Is it too much to ask to read it together? Let's read this verse together, because we are in trouble, because our culture teaches to be fearful all the time. To be cautious. Don't take risk. Be careful. All those different terminologies actually express the same thing. Fear. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This verse always reminds myself, do I truly understand the love of God? Because I think this is the key. We need to fully understand the intensity of this God's love. Because if you do not understand, when you say, I love God, or I know God loves me, you'll be very shallow. Because of this being so shallow, we tend to go back to become a religious person. So I hope the cross saving us from the wrath of God, from the anger of God, all these are important, are vital for us to understand the love of God. How much He sacrificed, how much He showed us His love. When you understand deep in your heart, instead of just say, I love this movie, you understand the word, I love my mom, I love my dad, I love my kids. That love, it's not the same as you say, I love that movie. And that love will drive you to be more like Jesus. Just like that love for my mom would sacrifice everything for her kids. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to give you thanks for the gospel. Lord, we also need to say, God, forgive us. A lot of time we want to be accepted, especially when we share the gospel. We just want people listen, like us. So we say, you know, the gospel is about God's love, about the blessing of God. If you accept it, you know, you will be blessed, you will be loved, all this wonderful message. But this is only half of the message. Now we need to understand the true intensity of this love, how the depth of this love, by telling people that we were in trouble, we were heading to eternal death. But God loves us so much that He will die on the cross for us. Lord, we pray that as we read this passage, we live our lives as a Christian. Lord, help us to, from time to time, revisit the gospel that we say we believe in. Lord, pray that this gospel will become a very powerful message in our hearts that will drive us to love you more, to reach out more or further for those who will never come to church. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.